live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, I'm Michaela Clark with the news at 5 o'clock. Coming up in this bulletin, the Health Minister has confirmed that the government is considering additional support for Letterkenny University Hospital. There are calls for NIDOC services in Inishowen to be properly resourced. A Donegal deputy has pleaded with the government to act now and help those defective block homeowners who are living in the worst houses experts have seen. And what was believed to be a hoax bomb targeting police in Derry this week has turned out to be a viable explosive device. Those stories to follow in full, plus more, and we'll have all the latest in sport coming up with Oisin Kelly at about 5:15. First news this evening. The Health Minister has confirmed that the government is considering additional supports for Letterkenny University Hospital. Minister Stephen Donnelly says due to the location of the hospital, efforts are ongoing to enhance it. This week, a consultant urologist at Letterkenny University Hospital resigned from public practice due to what he says is the impossible working conditions. In responding to Donegal Deputy Thomas Pringle, who raised concerns over staff retention and recruitment and the scaling back of services at the hospital, Minister Donnelly acknowledged that there is an issue with staffing.
This week we are seeing yet another resignation of a consultant in Letterkenny due to his, in his words, impossible working conditions. He is a consultant urologist who is known for his excellent quality of care. He has resigned from his post due to a lack of resources, reactive policies and impractical and onerous on-call demands. I can't imagine any other urologist will take up this post if these conditions are in which they are forced to work under. How long does this have to go on, Taoiseach? How many resignations will it take before this government actually intervenes? And is the intention to run down the hospital altogether? The people of Donegal are suffering at the hands of this government in action and a continuous inaction of these issues. And yet, your minister actually visited the hospital last week when this resignation was taking place. So what exactly are you going to do to ensure that Letterkenny University Hospital is adequately staffed and resourced?
The hospital, the clinical leaders, the administrative leaders in the last few weeks, and these issues were discussed. There is a new consultant contract coming into place. I believe that will help. We're also looking at, are there additional supports that Letterkenny needs because of its location? It is so far from the Model 4 hospitals. So it's something we are actively pursuing. The funding is there, the posts are sanctioned, but as you quite rightly point out, the hospital has struggled to hire in permanent consultants across a range of specialties. It's something I have brought back to the HSE, have brought back to the department, and we will continue to engage with the hospital.
Substantial progress has been made on cervical check following a review. However, there is still serious work to be done. In 2018, it was revealed false negative results meant over 200 women developed cervical cancer despite an all clear in their tests. That same year, Dr. Gabriel Scully published his report into the scandal and made 50 recommendations for change. Today, Dr. Scully gave an update on how they've been implemented. He says there's more to do.
There's a management saying that culture eats strategy for breakfast. And changing culture isn't easy, and it takes time and effort and commitment. And you can't turn it around in a year or 2 years. There has to be a whole programme of change in attitudes.
A Donegal deputy has pleaded with the government to act now and help those defective block homeowners who are living in the worst houses experts have seen. Speaking last night in the Dáil, Deputy Padraig McLaughlin called for immediate action to be taken to provide funding for those whose homes have become uninhabitable due to the defective block crisis. He also called for foundation tests to be included in the enhanced redress scheme, or the government, he says, will be wasting taxpayers' money as hundreds of homes will be rebuilt on unstable foundations. Deputy McLaughlin called for the housing agency to meet the families and get them out of their houses now.
I am begging you at this stage, begging you, for God's sake, how can we allow dozens of families right now to live in homes that are not fit for human habitation? How many weeks do I have to come in to this chamber and beg ministers to intervene, to please get the housing agency, Donegal County Council, to meet these families and get them out now? Why are you forcing families to live in houses with black mould, strangling their family and their kids? Why are you doing that? Why are you asking families to live when masonry could fall down on top of them any minute? It's only the mercy of God it hasn't happened already. So this is an emergency right now in Ireland. It's an earthquake happening in slow motion. And I'm begging you at this stage to please have an initiative now to get those families out of these homes. To get these families out of these homes. You know, does it take us being shamed where international experts toured these houses last week? They were on RTE. They said it's the worst examples they've seen in the world. The United States, Canada, Norway, Switzerland, United Kingdom, all these different countries have experienced this. This is the worst in the world that we're experiencing. So please, will you just get this sorted? Whatever you think about the wider housing emergency, will you intervene as soon as possible, talk to Minister Dara O'Brien and get this sorted out?
There are calls for NIDOC services in Inishowen to be properly resourced. Councillor Albert Doherty has raised concerns over the delivery of the service in the peninsula during the October bank holiday weekend, with just one GP on duty in Carndonagh. The HSE says it has noticed more demand over holiday weekends and will provide more cover in the future. Councillor Doherty says the service must be adequately resourced.
On one occasion, there was no doctor in call on an evening of a bank holiday weekend to serve the Inishowen Peninsula from Burt to Mullinhead, from Inishowen Head to Leanin Head, and I just think that is not acceptable. So yesterday it was confirmed that there are six GPs on duty to cover the NIDOC service, one of whom they say is based in Carndonagh, and they also advised me that on bank holiday weekends, if there were additional need, that they would put in additional GP. But I just say to the HSE, you must remove the uncertainty and assure the people of Inishowen that there are doctors available to them and for them.
If there is an emergency and you're in Inishowen and the next NIDOC service you can get to is Letterkenny, if it is not in operation in Carndonagh, that's a very long journey to have to travel with a sick patient.
Very much so, and that's why they monitor the volume of the calls. They monitor where the calls are coming from, and they said on an ongoing basis, where there is a peak activity, they put in additional resources. In my opinion, that didn't happen on occasions recently shown. That has to be rectified, and I'm hoping that there'll be no more gaps where the people of Inishowen were left with delayed responses. If the commitments made yesterday are kept, then they're very welcome for Inishowen.
Jerry Hodge was heard discussing the possibility of a ceasefire with the Kinahan organised crime group in a recorded conversation with Jonathan Dowdle. The recording is being played in Mr. Hodge's trial for the murder of David Byrne, who was shot dead during a boxing weigh-in at the Regency Hotel in Dublin in 2016. Both men were recorded on the afternoon and evening of March the 7th, 2016, as they drove to a meeting in Strabane. Court's correspondent Frank Greeny reports.
It is the prosecution's case that former Sinn Féin councillor Jonathan Dowdle drove Jerry Hodge to Northern Ireland on the 7th of March 2016 to meet with his Republican contacts. This was 1 month after the Regency Hotel attack, and by now his Jeep was under surveillance. A tracker and an audio recording device had been placed on it. The two men could be heard discussing lots of things en route to this alleged meeting. Dowdle did most of the talking. At one point, Dowdle asked Mr. Hodge if there was any truth in a newspaper article claiming he had held peace talks with the Kinahans in the Netherlands. He said there wasn't. In a discussion about the feud, Mr. Hodge told Dowdle he was against murder and said there had to be another way of punishing people. They also chatted about the possibility of mediation, but Mr. Hodge said he wasn't going to show a weak hand by going to the Kinahans in search of peace. Frank Greeny, the Special Criminal Court.
The Letterkenny Breast Cancer Unit is now holding Saturday clinics in an attempt to shorten waiting lists. The unit has seen over 3,000 breast care patients this year, with 2,000 of those new patients. The clinic also covers South Donegal, Sligo and Leitrim. The clinic is currently seeing around 300 patients a month, and for the months of November and December, clinics are being held on Saturdays. Consultant breast and general surgeon at Letterkenny University Hospital, Michael Sugrue, says the aim of the Saturday clinics is to alleviate the waiting list and also relieve anxiety for patients.
We're very pleased with our figures from our unit. And I was just looking at our figures for this year alone. We've seen over 3,000 patients in the unit this year, of which 2,000 are new patients. So that's a phenomenal throughput. And we're now trying to get our waiting list down. We run Saturday clinics in the months of November and December just to try and help and ease the anxieties of those ladies who have to wait.
What was believed to be a hoax bomb targeting police in Derry this week has turned out to be a viable explosive device. It follows further examination of the device recovered from a hijacked car that was driven to a police station in the city on Sunday evening. Emma Ryan has more.
At around 10:30pm on Sunday, a delivery driver was hijacked by three masked men at gunpoint in Milldale Crescent in Kurrieneirin, who placed a suspicious object in his vehicle, a grey-coloured Ford Mondeo. He was then forced to travel to the waterside and abandon the car outside the police station. On Monday, the security alert was declared an elaborate hoax. However, police now say, following further technical examination of the object, it has been confirmed that it was a viable device. Police appeal to anyone who was in the vicinity of Milldale Crescent in Kurrieneirin or in the vicinity of the Waterside Police Station on Sunday evening around 10:30pm to come forward with information on 101.
The Midlands Northwest MEP is urging communities and businesses to donate power generators to Ukraine. It's estimated 25,000 generators are needed to power schools and hospitals and other essential services cut off due to Russia's bombing campaign. The European Parliament has branded Russia a terrorist state, in part because of the targeting of civilian infrastructure. Colin Markey has backed a plea for generators of hope.
There's many businesses that maybe had a generator as a contingency at times, or equally had upscaled their electricity capacity and previously needed a generator. There are generators out there that are lying idle. There are generators that maybe are on construction sites that may not be active over the winter months. And it may be possible to get some of these generators to Ukraine.
Over 100,000 cost of living payments have been issued to Donegal families and households. The payments include child benefit payments, fuel allowance payments and the Living Alone Allowance. Donal Kavanagh has more.
Minister Charlie McConlogue has confirmed that 102,843 cost of living payments have been issued in Donegal in order to ease the pressure families and households are facing. 20,925 families in the county received the double child benefit that was paid earlier this month. 48,825 autumn double payments for social welfare recipients were paid, as well as 18,874 people receiving the €400 fuel allowance lump sum payment. A further 9,188 people received the Living Alone Allowance €200 lump sum payment. In the coming days, Minister McConlogue says 5,031 carers in Donegal will begin receiving a €500 carer support grant.
Sport on Highland is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports Letterkenny. Shop local and find the perfect gift with free next day delivery on orders over €85 at michaelmurphysports.ie.
It's time now for all the latest in sport with Oisin Kelly.
Thanks, Michaela. We're going to start with some football news. Shea Given has been inducted into the FAI Hall of Fame as part of the 32nd FAI International Awards. The Lifford native is one of six centurions for the Republic of Ireland men's senior team, following his 134 appearances, which included a record 60 clean sheets. Given played at the 2002 FIFA World Cup and the 2012-2016 European Championships with Ireland. He also led the team out as captain on six occasions over the course of his international career that spanned 20 years. At club level, Given registered 451 games in the English Premier League, a record for an Irish player. He won an FA Cup with Manchester City, the UEFA Intertoto Cup with Newcastle United, and was twice selected on the PFA Premier League Team of the Year. Speaking today on receiving the award, Shea was delighted to be among some of the greats.
If you look at the list of names on there, it's very special. You know, likes of more recently Robbie Keane, Damien Duff, Richard Dunn, and then going back obviously Johnny Giles, Liam Brady, Paul McGrath, you know, some massive names on that list. So yeah, it's a huge honour for me and my family, of course, today to receive this award. So yeah, very proud to have the Hall of Fame. Yeah,
big day for Shea Given, inducted into the Hall of Fame. Also, another inductee today was Linda Gorman, who hails from Finglas in Dublin. She was part of the first ever Ireland's women's team to beat Wales back in May 1973. Now on to the World Cup and the latest from the Group E game, which has been played at the moment. They're fast approaching the hour mark. Spain taking on Croatia for the very first time in a competitive game. It's taking place in Doha, and the Spanish are looking comfortable at the moment. No sign of another shock here. They're leading by 4-0. Ferran Torres has scored 2 of the 4. Olmo and Asensio have also got on the score sheet for the Spanish. Earlier, Germany were beaten 2-1 by Japan. Iga Gudongan gave the Germans the lead with a first half penalty, but Ritsu Doan levelled 4 minutes after his introduction as a substitute, and then fellow sub Takumu Asano bagged the winner. Prior to the game, German players covered their mouths in protest at FIFA banning captain Manuel Neuer from wearing the One Love armband. They released a statement saying human rights are non-negotiable and they wanted their voices to be heard. But on the pitch, it was shock number 2 at the competition following Argentina's defeat yesterday. Was the Germans' turns today. Earlier today as well in Group F, Morocco and Croatia played out the 3rd goalless draw of the competition. There's another game tonight at 7. Canada make their return to World Cup action for the first time in 36 years. They're taking on Belgium. It's been confirmed that Manchester City manager Pep Guardiola has signed a 2-year contract extension with the Premier League champions until 2025. The former Barcelona and Bayern Munich manager's deal was due to run out next summer. Since joining in 2016, he has guided City to 4 Premier League titles, 1 FA Cup and 4 League Cups, but he has yet to taste success in the Champions League with City. Guardiola says there's no reason why he had to leave.
Being happy, comfortable here. I have everything where I need to do my job as best as possible. But I said I have the support. We discuss a lot. We can do better. We have to do better.
Celtic have signed Japanese player Yuki Kobashi on a 5-year deal. The centre-back moves to the Scottish Premiership champions from J-League side Vissel Kobe. He'll link up with his new teammates at the start of next month and will be eligible to play from January. Drogheda United have appointed Joanna Byrne as their interim chairperson. She becomes the first female chairperson across the 2 top divisions in Irish football. Conor Hoy is stepping down as chairman after 4 years at the helm. To athletics, 3 Northwest athletes have been inducted on the Ireland, or have been included rather, on the Ireland team for next month's European Cross Country Championships in Italy. Letterkenny AC's Anne-Marie McGlynn and Fun Valley's Roisin Flanagan have been named on the senior women's team. And Fun Valley's Sean McGinley has been included on the under 20 men's team for the championships in Turin, which took place on Sunday the 11th of December. McGlynn's place was secured by her 4th place finish at the Nationals in Downings just last Sunday, while Flanagan's form in America, where she ran a new county 5k record, was good enough to gain a spot on the team, which will be led out by Kira McGeehan. Sean McGinley was 6th last weekend in Downings, and that was also good enough to get him a place. Sunday's National Senior Champions, Sarah Healy and Dara McElhenney, will lead the charge for the Irish under 23 teams in Italy, and Letterkenny AC's Teresa McDade will be on team management. Remember, last year's Europeans, Ireland claimed 3 medals, 2 teams and 1 individual, and it was topped off, of course, by the team gold in the men under 23 race. Finally, to Formula One, Daniel Ricciardo has officially rejoined Red Bull as their 3rd driver for next season. The Australian had his contract terminated by McLaren at the end of the last campaign. Ricciardo did, of course, win 7 Grand Prix in his first stint with the team between 2014 and 2018. There you go, that's your sport, Michaela.
Thanks, Oisin. And returning to some news, a meeting is taking place in Letchermack Award this weekend to discuss the decision by Mass Energy to go to Imbord Planalla after Donegal County Council rejected a plan to erect 3 extra wind turbines in the area. The Gweebara Conservation Group is organising the meeting, saying that the proliferation of wind turbines in the area is now so intense that thousands of people from Ardragh to Fintown are feeling under constant threat in their own homes. Fear has also been expressed that the impact will damage local tourism businesses, with 3 planning applications for wind developments in the area currently under consideration. Group spokesperson Patricia Sharkey says the proposed turbines at Mass are particularly big and locals are very concerned.
These are huge turbines. These would be the biggest turbines in Donegal, 150 metres high, 1.5 times the height of the ones that exist there already. But given what we know about peat bogs and their importance to the environment and as carbon sinks and helping us in this climate crisis around the world, we have to keep it in the ground and not dig up the peat bogs.
And that meeting takes place at Elliott's Bar in Letchermack Ward from 2 to 4 o'clock on Saturday afternoon. Weather now, showers developing today with hail and isolated thunderstorms possible. Highest temperatures today of 8 or 9 degrees. The closing headlines this evening, the Health Minister has confirmed that the government is considering additional supports for Letterkenny University Hospital. Minister Stephen Donnelly says due to the location of the hospital, efforts are ongoing to enhance it. The Donegal deputy has pleaded with the government to act now and help those defective block homeowners who are living in the worst houses experts have seen. Speaking last night in the Dáil, Deputy Padraig McLaughlin called for immediate action to be taken to provide funding for those whose homes have become uninhabitable due to the defective block crisis. There are calls for NIDOC services in Inishowen to be properly resourced. Councillor Albert Doherty has raised concerns over the delivery of the service in the peninsula during the October bank holiday weekend, with only one GP on duty in Carndonagh. And what was believed to be a hoax bomb targeting police in Derry this week has turned out to be a viable explosive device. It follows further examination of the device recovered from a hijacked car that was driven to a police station in the city on Sunday evening. That's all from Highland Radio News for now. You can listen back to a podcast of our main evening news on our website at highlandradio.com. We'll be back with an update again at 6 o'clock. Until then, good evening.
The obituary notices for this Wednesday evening, the 23rd of November. The death has occurred of Thomas Paul Breslin, Dohill, Ardra. His remains are reposing at his late residence. Funeral from there on Friday morning at 11:45, going to the Church of the Holy Family, Ardra, for funeral mass at 12 noon, interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. The death has taken place of Philip J. Timoney, Drumholm, Ballantra, Donegal, reposing at the family home until 10 o'clock tonight and again tomorrow from 2 p.m. to 10 p.m. Philip's remains will arrive at St. Bridget's Church, Ballantra, for 11 o'clock funeral mass on Friday morning, with burial afterwards in the adjoining graveyard. House strictly private, please, on Friday morning. Family flowers only, donations in lieu of desired to Cree, the West of Ireland Cardiac Foundation. Philip's funeral mass can be viewed online at churchservices.tv. The death has occurred of Father Michael Brown, OCD, St. Teresa's, Clarendon Street, Dublin 2, formerly of Dunmore, Carrigart. Requiem Mass tomorrow morning at 11:30 in St. Teresa's Church, Clarendon Street, followed by removal to St. John the Baptist Church, Carrigart, arriving at approximately 6 o'clock to repose overnight. Requiem Mass at 11 o'clock on Friday morning, with burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. The Mass tomorrow can be viewed on clarendonstreet.com. The death has taken place of Kevin Dunlop, Hornhead Road, Dunfanaghy. His remains will arrive at Holy Cross Church, Dunfanaghy, at 8:30 this evening to repose overnight. Funeral Mass there tomorrow morning at 11, with burial afterwards in the adjoining graveyard. Mass can be viewed on mcnmedia.tv. The death has taken place of Josephine Doherty, 2 St. Vincent's Close, Ballybuffet. Josephine's remains will repose at her daughter Louise Doherty's residence at 12 Ardnery, Long Lane, Letterkenny, until 10 o'clock tonight. Rosary tonight at 9. Funeral Mass will be celebrated in St. Patrick's Church, Drumkeen, at 11 o'clock tomorrow morning, followed by interment in the adjoining graveyard. House private, please, before the funeral. Family flowers only, please. Donations, if desired, to the Donegal Hospice. The death has taken place of Catherine Kitty Kelly, née Doherty, Rowfield, Brage, Lifford, and formerly of the Fields, Port Hall, Lifford. The house will open to the public today until 9 p.m. and again tomorrow from 11 a.m. to 9 p.m. House strictly private to immediate family only at all other times and on the morning of the funeral. Funeral from her home on Friday at 12 noon for Requiem Mass at 12:30 in St. Patrick's Church, Murlock. Interment afterwards in the adjoining graveyard. The Mass can be viewed live via the parish webcam on MCN Media. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu if desired to Donegal Down Syndrome or the Donegal Hospice, care of Grace Kelly. The death has taken place of Rebecca Ruby McClintock, Brady Carrigans. Her remains are reposing at her late residence. Funeral service there on Friday afternoon at 2 o'clock, followed by burial in the family plot at Monrea Presbyterian Church. House private, please. Family and friends welcome. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu if desired to the Northwest Breast Clinic, the care of any family member, or Terence McClintock, funeral director. The death has taken place of Ian Edwards, Melanie Grove, Bert. His remains are reposing at his late residence. Funeral from there tomorrow afternoon at 1:15 for 2 o'clock funeral service in Newton Cunningham Presbyterian Church, followed by burial in the adjoining graveyard. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu if desired to the Irish Motor Neuron Disease Organisation, care of Terence McClintock, funeral director. Family time, please, from 10 o'clock tonight and before the funeral tomorrow. And the death has taken place of Margaret Elizabeth Bradley, Meadowbank Care Home. Service of thanksgiving for her life in D and Dor Hay and Sons Funeral Home tomorrow at 12 noon, followed by cremation in Lakeland's Crematorium, Cavan, arriving at approximately 3:15. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu if desired to Strabane Presbyterian Church, care of Mrs. Ruth Hay, funeral director. Everyone is welcome to call to the funeral home to pay their respects to Elizabeth this evening from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. For more details, including any family health guidelines for wakes and funerals, please go to highlandradio.com.